the question you asked me is, do I like cleaning the bathrooms?
Do you like cleaning the bathrooms?
No, I don't.
Are you willing to clean the bathrooms?
Yes.
So you can out-service?
Yes, and because?
I don't like cleaning the bathrooms.
Or does he do them very well? So you see? There you go.
We are talking about opposites in marriage. In all the marriage conferences, marriage seminars that we've done, this is a key topic that keeps coming up. You know, the fact that men and women are different. And sometimes you end up in a marriage with someone that is a little bit different than you. What we're really going to talk about, I think, here as we get into this, is just the power of what those differences, those opposites, can do as far as sanctifying you or helping you be sanctified, become more complete, more full, more like Christ.
Thanks. So, everyone.
She takes it. There we go.
Yeah, I don't take too much. So, everyone knows him as Arlen Miller. I am Katie Miller, his wife. We by no means exemplify the perfect marriage. So, have we figured this out? Not necessarily. But these are just some things that definitely are our heart and our passion. Okay.
Thanks, Jer. So, viewing marriage as a sanctifying tension, that'll be the first thing that we talk about. Common areas of tension, we'll just hit on a few of those, and then we'll just talk through a couple of tools and concepts that can help navigate that. Let me start, though, actually, by I want you to think about this, okay? What are some common areas where you and your spouse most often experience tension, and then how do you normally handle it? We're actually going to get more positive, right? So we don't want this to stay right here. But we did want to, in the spirit of self-disclosure, we did want to share with you some of the common areas where Katie and I most often experience tension. So just a short little video that we took of ourselves.
What do you want to get for dinner?
I don't really care.
Then just pick something.
You choose.
I'm not playing this game where I list every single thing and you shoot it all down. I'm not doing this again.
Anything will be fine. It's
fine.
Food.
Fine. All right. We're going to get pizza.
Anything but pizza.
What do you want to eat?
Why am I going to put them away? I'm wearing them tomorrow morning.
I don't care if you're wearing them tomorrow morning. I don't want them just sitting by my side of the bed all night.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom. The next person doesn't have to squeeze then.
It's toothpaste. It's not like it's hard to squeeze it from a new area on the tube.
Why are we fighting about this?
Why are we fighting about this?
Why are we fighting about this? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made you make the decision. That being said, I think your original call of pizza is fine. Just no pepperoni.
Isn't my video great? Exchange whatever you'd like in there, but it does give some opposites, some areas of tension, of conflict, of arguments, right? We're all wired and created differently. We're wired for relationship. We're wired for conversation and communication. And yet our marriages, maybe you guys are different, but I'm guessing regardless of how long you've been married, when you first got married, you had that euphoria, you had that excitement, and yet you realized very quickly and deep down how prideful or selfish or just you had been what you had been living for. And another believer coming into that union, God created this union for a beautiful, beautiful reason. And yet tension and conflict in it are just a normal part of that. If you think about your marriage instead of just like this commitment, I'm going to be married until one of us passes, you know, kind of the whole thing Ron alluded to this morning about it portrays the gospel. It is a relationship that portrays the gospel. If you reframe your marriage as a key sanctifier in your life, it's a paradigm shift. It makes you think, I am living out the gospel through my marriage. And thinking about what has it exposed in my character? When I, Katie Kellenberger, got married 11 years ago, what did it expose in me? Strengths, weaknesses? There was definitely areas to grow and continue to grow. This tension is not a problem to be solved, but something to be managed. Lots of times you go through different valleys or peaks within your marriage, and you've maybe found victory in some things and start communicating well in others, and then a month or so down the road, you realize, wow, there's another area we have to do, right? It's like the constant... The never-ending remodel project is how my husband puts it. So we were privileged to purchase a property that has been under remodeling for quite some time now, 11,
Insert sigh. It's called a year. Yeah. So, so we finished the basement, right? The bathroom's in. Then there's another. It's one of those things. A marriage is like that never-ending remodel piece where you finish one area and you get it kind of all settled and in a good spot. And then all of a sudden, the barn needs electrical. Or then all of a sudden, this needs a little fix and a little tune-up, right? Our marriages are like that. That is living out the gospel and reframing it as a key sanctifier in our life. It's that never-ending remodel project. It's kind of been on our hearts the last 12 months, so that's kind of how, especially my husband, likes to think about it.
Let me reframe it a little bit this way, though, too. So here's a verse that we use often, right? Ephesians 5 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." Common verses we use. Now, I want to encourage us to think about this, though, because often I think we forget about the cost of marriage. We think we can get this kind of rose-colored glasses and think, okay, marriage is all good, right? There's no cost. It's all benefit. It's, you know, two instead of one. Everything is positive there. And yet, as we really realize, all of us realize who've been married for any piece of time, realize there is a cost that goes there. You know, so wives, what is the cost of your submission to your husband? It's not hard when it's not something that you care deeply about. It's not hard when it's not difficult to submit. But what about those times when it is something that really is going to be costly to submit, but it's the, you know, it's the right thing to do, right? What is that cost that plays there? Or husbands, what about loving? What is the cost to you of loving your wives? There is a cost in that. There's a cost that comes with deeply loving and caring. Caring as Christ loved the church, right? I mean, what was Christ's cost? You know, that's the cost that we as husbands are called upon to put upon our wife there. It is a way to reflect the gospel through our marriage. I also want you to think about it in this way, or ask you to think about it in this way. I have strengths and I have many weaknesses. And Katie has strengths and she has a few weaknesses. The reality is, though, the two of us together, our strengths and our weaknesses present a more balanced picture to others. It's part of the reason, I think, if we are open and honest with God, if we are submissive to his sanctifying work, it's part of the reason why he puts us together. It's a chance for us to become more complete, to become more perfect, more in Christ's image as we play off of our strengths and weaknesses. Now, that's a choice because you can look at those strengths and weaknesses and you can begin to kind of make a decision and say, no, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm going to seek compatibility. I'm going to try to conform her to my image. I'm going to try to do this or that or the other thing, right? And as we heard from the very first session on today, I mean, that's kind of the society's view, right? If it starts being hard or doesn't work real well or the compatibility starts to kind of suffer a little bit, let's look for plan B or let's figure out some other way around this as opposed to what I think the gospel calls us to, where it says, no, that's exactly why I put you guys together, because you are more complete together than you are if you're apart. You present a different picture, a more complete picture. Not that we were fine, we were saved by grace even when we were single and before we were married, but that opportunity of marriage, of sanctifying, of any type of deep relationship, to catch our blind spots, to work with us, to tweak us, to change us.
I would challenge too for these scriptures up here, wives, if you really take the heart of it, if it's easy, are you really submitting? And husbands, if it's easy and selfless for you to do, is that an act of, you know, true love and so forth? Hopefully so. But I'm guessing the easy, that's where our nature kind of butts up in our relationship specifically. Common areas of difference. These are four just general ones that throughout the agency we kind of come in contact with a lot of where our differences, again, God created us and designed us fearfully and wonderfully, and yet sometimes those differences is where in a specific intimate marriage relationship we do come in a lot of conflict. Communication styles, family of origin, roles and responsibilities, and then intimacy. Communication styles, we are designed to communicate differently.
three areas that we do communicate, or how we communicate differently. The first one, expander condenser. Any expanders in here? Yeah. Hey, be proud. Raise your hand. That's me too. Okay. I tell great stories. Okay. It takes me a long time to tell great stories, but I tell great stories. I give great information in great depth. It's very important, all of it. And I can expand away with the best of them. Okay. My husband can do the exact same thing in about one sentence, probably a subject, a verb, punctuation, done. Okay. Did he say the exact same thing? Yes. Was it told as fun as me? Probably not, but you get the point, okay? I expand, he condenses. Do we communicate differently, and have we learned to kind of understand that? Absolutely. It came across this morning. I came down, and he was in, like, go mode. He was focused. He had some tasks to take care of. He had done his devotions. And I came down thinking about, I heard something last night, and an email came across, and what do you think about? And he was just like, okay, when we get to the church, you need to check this, and I'll check this. It's just like, and I kept telling my story, just right on telling the story. And he stopped listening. I guarantee you. He was on focus. He's eating his oatmeal. He was focused, okay? Focused. Thinker, feeler. Thinkers are, they generally like to, okay, some great information was presented today. I really got to process this. All these reflection questions, I get it, they're important, but I really need to just kind of, I need some time. I need to focus. I need to process. Versus a feeler, let's talk now. How do you feel? This is how I felt. What do you think about this? Okay. Pursuer, distancer, lots of times. So I'm the expander in our relationship. You would also think I'm the pursuer, but actually I am not, okay? I'm the distancer. My husband knows if I stop talking, something's wrong. So he pursues, and I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to talk about that right now. We'll wait. We can talk about it in a little bit. And then he pursues, and I distance, and then he pursues. You get the idea. So different communication styles create lots of tension points, potentially, within a marriage. The key for communication, though, is are we leaning into these differences? Are we allowing them to create breakdowns? So did he stop listening to my story this morning? Probably. But did he let me keep talking? Yes. Did I focus on what I needed to do when I got to the church? Yes. Did I respect that? Yes. You see? And it worked, kind of. But are we leaning into these differences and allowing them to help shape and strengthen our marriage versus divide and separate? Okay. Family of origin. Whether you've done any kind of therapy, premarital counseling, marital counseling, that type of thing, family of origin has a huge impact, whether you verbally acknowledged it, not acknowledged it, upon how you went in to your marriage relationship. There are many expectations of what you thought a marriage should look like based upon what you were modeled, both positively and negatively. How you process criticism has a huge part on what you were modeled in marriage relationships, not just necessarily by your parents, but those around you, aunts, uncles, grandparents, you name it. How we expect to spend our holidays, how we practice forgiveness. This last bullet is definitely key on, like Caleb mentioned, are you going to think about some of those bids and wait to apologize and ask for forgiveness? Or are you quick to offer forgiveness and really take that to heart? Born and raised in Leicester, Iowa, so our holidays have a separation of geography, and some of you in here can testify to that as well. So early on in our marriage, when we did premarital counseling, that was a key one that we had to reconcile. All of my family is back there. His family is here. What do we do for holidays? Do we just kind of like, okay, when are you going to get together? Just we really had to work through. And then also not just attendance on where do we spend Christmas, where do we spend Easter, but just communicate through, okay, Arlen grew up going to his grandma and grandpa Schliff's on Christmas Eve, and then grandma and grandpa Miller's on Christmas Day, and then they switched it the next year. And everybody was very local, and that was kind of expected, and it worked. And he had a smaller family of origin. He has four first cousins. Four. He's an apostolic. And that just blew my mind. My paradigm was 43 first cousins on one side of my family. So we just had to kind of retrain and communicate through that about what a holiday actually looked like. What does it look like for our small family? As we were blessed with children and so forth. We are called to leave, cleave, and weave, which is obviously scriptural, but there's also a servant piece there that I think our generation understands a little bit, but below it's starting to get a little bit hazy. As far as leaving and cleaving is important within a marital relationship, but how does that also translate then to serving your in-laws? It's not just, you know, Arlen's family and my family. it's my sister-in-law and her family with Holiday. There's a whole gamut of what leaving, cleaving, and then serving your in-laws or serving your parents looks like as you create your own family niche. So a potential, again, of potential conflict, but just areas to be aware of and to continue to communicate upon.
I read somewhere recently that it takes 7 to 10 years for a couple to truly know themselves or know each other, right? 7 to 10 years. Like you think, oh, a year or two, you get it and all that kind of stuff. But it just takes a long time to start to figure out who are you? How do you tick? Why do you do what you do? And I would actually contend that if you find some areas where there's some perpetual type conflict that potentially goes on, or potential areas where there's always a rub that happens, there could be some deeper stuff. A good question might be, okay, so tell me how that was modeled in your family, right? How did you practice forgiveness, to use that example, growing up? How did you see that in your parents? Or did you see that in your parents? Or how did you process criticism? How did you talk about hard things? Did you talk about hard things? You know, all of those things impact us a lot more than we realize. And just, it's a piece to be aware of, right? And another piece that ties in very closely to that is these roles and responsibilities. You know, we kind of fall into this pattern where we get things done around the house, around our household. You know, who does what role? Who takes what responsibility? Who cooks breakfast on Sunday morning? You know, Katie grew up in a family where the father always cooked breakfast on Sunday morning. That was kind of the big deal. I never did that, you know? And to this day, I've offered, yeah, I don't think I want my pancakes, but I've offered, but it just doesn't, you know, it's those kind of things where these roles and responsibilities can become accepted. And sometimes what can happen, often it doesn't, but what can happen is you can almost have this like smoldering resentment when you view certain tasks. And because you're in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I've never really wanted to do this. I never wanted to be the primary cleaner, or I never wanted to be the primary financial person, or I never wanted to be this person, right? Why am I always stuck doing this? Why doesn't my spouse pick up the slack, right? And so our encouragement is can you talk through some of those things, and can you process through some of those things? The other advice that we were given when we were newly married, which I think is very wise advice given to us by one of our mentors, they challenged us the every day of our life to try to outserve each other. And you've maybe heard that before, right? But this idea, how can you outserve each other? And when you approach roles and responsibilities with that attitude that we are going to outserve each other, suddenly it takes a different flavor than when it becomes like almost scorekeeping. Or, okay, you'll do X and Y and I'll do Z and A, you know, and don't get into my space, you know, or whatever, right? Let's talk that through and let's process that through. You look like you have something you want to say.
So I'm going to ask you a question. You ready? Arlen? No, you.
Me.
Yes. Okay. Do you like doing finances?
No.
Should I take the finances?
No, we've talked about this.
And am I capable of doing the finances?
You're very capable of doing the finances.
And would you double check me if I did have to take the finances?
Yes.
So for time's sake, I will not do the finances, because if he's going to double check me anyway, why would I do the finances, right? So I can do them. He's going to do them, though, and double check. So he does the finances. Now the question you ask me is, do I like cleaning the bathrooms?
Do you like cleaning the bathrooms?
No, I don't.
Are you willing to clean the bathrooms?
Yes.
So you can outserve us?
Yes. And because?
I don't like cleaning the bathrooms.
Or does he do them very well? So you see, there you go. There was a lot of opinions. Is it your turn?
Yeah. Fourth topic, the area of intimacy. Key area. This whole area of intimacy, too, can become a huge area of conflict where there are differences between spouses in needs, desires, expectations of intimacy. The greater the emotion and passion tied with something, the more intense the conflict can become around that topic. Intimacy is a very emotional, passionate area of marriage. And so the conflict over this can become more and more intense if there is not a willingness to discuss and to talk about it. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about this. He talks about how spouses should not use intimacy or sex as a weapon against each other. It should be an area that's going to need to be talked through or thought through at different points. And so realize that this is a common area where we see disagreement or tension, I'll put it that way, within marital relationships. And it's an area to continue to discuss and talk through and be open to. So how able are you to have a conversation about this topic? That's the question I want to leave you with. How able are you? Are you, or is that off the table? And this comes into some of those family of origin things. Some families of origins never discussed such things. It was taboo. And some overly discussed things, right? It was too much potentially. But are you able, just like this or with any area, to lean into it and discuss and talk it through? Or does it become this area of frustration, disappointment? One thing that we did both in preparation for this, we had taken several different tests where, and there's some, and we just highlight a couple of them here, that you can actually take these and get more feedback through the readout and such. It's going to point out to you key areas of marriage and Katie's view of it and my view of it. And is there a big gap between her view of communication and my view of communication, her view of conflict, my view of conflict, you know, or are we pretty close together? And often where you see that big gap is where you're going to see some of those tension points and their areas to process through. Focus on the Family has a very simple assessment. It's free. It's online. It's called Focus on Marriage Assessment. It's very quick. It takes literally 5 minutes to take. And you will get kind of a high-level overview of potentially some areas that are together and some areas that are maybe a little bit more apart. It's very solidly Christian. It's free. It's also pretty high level. There's another test that we took called the Couple Checkup. It's a book that you can buy. It's the same people who put on the Prepare and Enrich test, which Prepare is what a lot of premarital couples will take. Enrich is the same version of a test just for couples that have been married for a while. This one looks specifically at different areas of your life and seven key areas and how close are you? How do you view marriage together? If you buy the book, there's like a free code that comes along with it. It does have a cost to it. It's written by Christian authors. It's not necessarily written to a Christian audience. And there's others. There's all kinds of resources and things that you can do. My encouragement is, are you going to lean into that? Are you going to realize the opportunity that these opposites, these differences, these sanctifying tensions have within your marriage? Or are you going to let them kind of just be there as always kind of a burr? So let's wrap up with this. A couple questions I just want you to kind of finish up with. Write down three things that you appreciate about your spouse. Three things. And I'd like you to write down, how has your spouse helped sanctify you? How have the differences that Satan wants to use as a rub, how has God been able to use them to help make you more and more like Christ? Thanks again for listening and for your time.